Well, welcome back. This is New Mainers Speak. We're on WMPG 90.9 and 104.1 FM and 281 AC, Gorham, Portland, Southern Maine Community Radio, broadcasting from USM. And this is New Mainers Speak. It's a special two-hour 100th show celebration. Woo! And I have wonderful guests here in the studio, a nice panel of people. I'll introduce them to you. We have Jen Lunt. She's an ELL teacher, that's English Language Learner, teacher in the Portland schools at Portland High School. She works with high school students and their families to navigate their transitions into and out of high school. And she supports not just academic and language development, but also focuses on identity development and supports asset rather than deficit approaches to understanding themselves as a school community member. And she's been teaching since 2006, but got into the ELL business in 2010. Welcome, Jen.
Thanks. I'm so happy to be here.
Amy Fecto works as a human resources officer, deputy.
Was director at Granite Bay Care.
Director of human resources. She worked for Granite Bay Care for the past 4 years. And that's a social services agency in Portland comprised of 85 to 90% New Mainers. And she just recently began working with the University of Southern Maine.
Yay!
Yay! I'm so glad to have you here today.
Thank you so much.
And Wendy Harmon. She's a realtor at Keller Williams, specializing in residential and investment properties. And she has over 30 years of property management experience.
Thank you.
Thanks. Pleasure to have you here today. So let's kick it off. We don't all have to answer all the questions, but, you know, I'll put them out there. And if you have something important to share, please do speak up. I'm wondering if any of you or all of you set out to work with the immigrant population or if that just happened in your lifetimes.
That absolutely just happened for me in HR.
That's Amy.
That's
okay.
I started my career almost 20 years ago in human resources, and it wasn't until I got to Granite Bay Care, where my population is mostly New Mainers, and it was such an enlightening experience for me. I learned a lot. I had a lot of missteps, but they have become family, and it's been just an amazing experience for me.
Great. How about you two? Did you seek the immigrant community?
Well, this is Jen. Well, when I started teaching, I did the USM's ETEP program, and I was really excited that I was in the Portland site because I knew that that would be something that I would have a lot more exposure to and just have more awareness about. But my first teaching job was not in a district that had that. And so when I, after a couple of years outside of Portland, I was really excited to move back to have a career in the Portland Public Schools because I knew that was going to be a bigger element of my daily life. And after teaching for several years as just a history teacher, I just decided that I really wanted to just focus on the needs of the kids that were not just focused on trying to develop their language, their English language, but that who were also navigating that sort of multicultural existence where they had school culture, they had friend culture, they had home culture. And so that was what really drew me into it. They were just fascinating, fun people to be around, and I wanted to do that all the time.
Yeah, so, really. It's a pleasure working with grateful people.
It's really fun.
I'm Wendy, and my experience started with Catholic Charities. I have worked with them for several years, and the population has just changed and grown, and we've been very grateful for the opportunity to continue to help and work with families throughout Portland.
When you say you work with Catholic Charities, is this with the refugees that are resettling?
Yes, it is.
So yes. You find housing for refugees?
Yes, we do. Yes.
Oh. Yeah. How does that look? How do you do that?
We have Catholic Charities will call and we'll advise them what we have coming available, and we try to work. And we also have some families that we already have housed. And from there, we will have references of another family coming in that wants to be closer. And it's worked out well. The experiences that they share with us is fascinating. And just the courage that they have come with is really wonderful to hear.
Yeah. It is. And they don't know what to do in our housing sometimes, do they?
Well, I actually worked with some caseworkers in Portland and Maine Equal Justice and Pine Tree Legal, and we developed a handout on the basics, everything from transportation, how to get around on the bus system, to shopping, how to shop, and what our labels look like, and to housing and how to apply for an apartment. And had two meetings at King Middle School in the last few years, all centered around how can we help each other.
Yeah, that's great. Mm-hmm. Wow, that's a nice welcome package to get. I was at a friend's house one time, and it was so hot, and I was there with the kids, and then when they came back, I said, I turned the heat down. They said, how do you do that? Mm-hmm. I said, right here, this knob. They're like, what part? And right, I showed them right. how to work their thermostat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's those small things sometimes where I think one of the things that all this work does is it not only, you know, set your own mind into this whole spinning thing of, whoa, I live in a privileged situation, but also, whoa, I make a lot of assumptions about mm-hmm. stuff all the time. And,
exactly.
And
yes.
You know, I think we become so used to that in our world here. And it's amazing when you get those chances to sort of say, mm-hmm. oh, whoa, this isn't necessarily normal. This is just one way that things are.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And that's a great example, Kate, of yeah. just saying, whoa, you know, what will we live with, and then how do we know how to change it? You know, what can we do? Do I have choices? You know, just the idea of in the grocery store mm-hmm. when people go to Hannaford's for the first time and go down that cereal aisle, I don't know how many times I've heard that over the years of just this is crazy yeah. how many choices, and it's sometimes so overwhelming.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Shampoo, like really.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. How can we possibly spend time on this? Yeah.
Do any of you have any stories or experience related to your work with immigrants that have changed your mind or solidified your interest in working with this population going forward?
Absolutely. I have a story about when I was working with my new Mainers, and it was the first year that I was working with GBC, and we were trying to do something great for our employees. And so we thought, what would be better than a summer barbecue? you all know where I'm going already. So we planned this great summer barbecue. It's at one of the houses with, you know, great grassy area. And we're thinking people will play football and frisbee, and the clients will be there and the employees will be there, and everyone will have a great time. So we bring out hamburgers and hot dogs, and we have employees bring dishes, and not very many people brought dishes. And so when we said, hey, it's time to eat, this whole population of employees are kind of standing in the background. And so I went up to one of my employees and I said, hey, you guys how come people aren't eating? And he pulls me a little close and he said, it's Ramadan.
Oh.
And I went, oh, gosh, we're fasting. And so we're not able to partake. And I could have fallen through the floor. But it's one of those things that, being me from Maine, I didn't think about. We didn't have a management meeting around this. And so I will tell you, I never made that mistake again.
But Ramadan's a moving target. You got to pay attention.
But it's something that I didn't know I needed to pay attention
to. Of course.
Yeah. And so that right there was, holy cow, I live in such a tiny bubble. And I need to break that bubble and come and look at the world outside of, you know, my own experiences. And that was so tremendously eye-opening that I needed to really, on a regular basis, have conversations with employees. What else am I missing?
Mm-hmm.
And so it opened up a huge dialogue for me with each one of my employees. Where are you from? What's your background? Is there anything we're missing? What else can we do for you? And so I have a lot of little experiences that have sort of built and solidified my love for all of my employees and the education they bring me.
In the mental health world, they have a quote that says, nothing about us without us.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I really like that. I think that could be true for New Mainers or any other population. You don't decide what women want with a panel of men.
That's right. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, I have a similar story with that whole kind of well-intentioned plans, and we think this is amazing, but we didn't really involve anybody at the beginning of it. And it was at a school where we were starting a lot of different traditions. And one of them was to have the entire one entire class go out to an island for a week and do this incredible program with writing and doing all these things and being in kayaks and group challenges and bonding. And from my perspective, it was like, this is so important for you to feel like you're part of the community. It's so essential. And so suddenly, as we started to see more and more of our students who came from Somali households or other households say, you know, not turning in their permission slips, not showing up at the meeting for the thing, not doing, I was like, oh, so, you know, I kind of gathered some people together, and it came to us that we should have a meeting, especially with just the Somali moms. And all those, I mean, it was one of those things where I'm coming to the meeting with my whole agenda, and this is why your sons and daughters have to go on this thing, not recognizing how many things I was asking of them. And what it came to crystal clear when this mom, so she listened to me, and the interpreter was interpreting all the, I had photographs, I had all the things about convincing them, you know, this is why it's so important. I want your kids to be part of the community. So it's so important. And this one woman just took my hand, and she just started talking and talking and talking and talking. So I'm waiting for the interpreter, and the interpreter takes a long time, kind of rethinks, like, how am I going to break this to this, you know, nice lady who's made all this. But basically what she was telling me was, you know, I walked through several countries with my son. He got through this debilitating disease. He's had all these different disabilities throughout his life. And now you're asking me to put him on a boat. I've never been on a boat. I can't even imagine going on a boat. You know, like the idea of having him go camping after being on a boat, she looked in my eyes, and the last thing she sort of had interpreted was, he has never slept away from me his whole life. And it just sort of hit me what I was asking was, of course, well-intentioned. As a teacher, you want to make sure you have those things. But I think what it did for me was start to, again, have those big awakenings of, you know, not moving forward with things until I really understood that, you know, no matter how well-intentioned and great my plan was, if it's not inclusive, it's not relevant. It's not real. It needs to be authentic for everyone involved. So I think, you know, I continually have to do that with myself.
That's so humbling, isn't it? I think as I'm listening to it, I wonder if people are listening and saying, that's exactly why I don't do this, you know, because
it's
you can make so
scary.
Many mistakes.
Yeah.
But know what? You benefit so much from those mistakes because, A, I'm not going to make that one again, but, B, it really opens your eyes to what you really don't know.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I've told that story to other Somali moms since that to explain my own you know, lack of awareness sometimes, and said, you know, I want to talk to you before we go too far about XYZ. And they love that story just as much as I love that story. Because it shows, yes, we've been through this before with someone like you.
Yes. Well, and they go through it every day.
All the time. Oh, yeah. All the time. Yeah.
Wendy, did you have anything you wanted to add to that one?
I actually work on a hockey program for 3rd, 4th, and 5th graders in Portland, and it's a free program. It's called Portland Hockey Trust, and I'm on the board of directors. And it's open to all children in Portland. So we've had a number of children that have come in with headdress, and we've had to try to fit helmets on them. And that is like, okay,
problem.
That's all. Yeah, that was a little bit, I'm like, okay, we can do this, you know. And we get the helmet on. And then we had, at the end of the year, similar to your story, we had a pizza party. And, you know, all the cheese pizza was gone, but none of the pizza with pepperoni or any kind of meat. And I realize now that that's what we need to be having more of, because they don't have meat. A lot of new Mainers don't like meat on their food or together. So it was that's been a little bit of an interesting twist. That's been great. It's been a really good experience. It's wonderful watching all the children play and play a game that's so American to us, and they're just enjoying it, and they're going on to play in junior high and high school. So,
well, thank you for serving on that board. I did my student internship up at East End Community School, and a number of those kids would say, "We're going to hockey practice," and I thought, "How is this possible?" And then I found out how it's possible for the kindnesses of people like you, people who donate equipment. They pay nothing to play hockey, a very expensive sport, and have fabulous times learning to skate. I mean, when in Rome.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So this is the 100th edition of New Mainers Speak, and we're giving away a whole bunch of prizes today, including two tickets to Neupoli. Neupoli carries on a tradition that is so old, it's hard to date, performing music from south of Italy, laced with influences from all over the surrounding Mediterranean cultures. Originals are mixed with exciting arrangements of traditional music. The tempo is high, and the drama and passion in their blood can be heard in every note. It's quite fun music, and this is your chance to win two tickets to Neupoli. And when we return to the talking, the first caller will be greeted by the lovely Anella Linton on the phones, and you can win the two tickets to Neupoli. They're going to be performing at Mayo Street Arts in the International Heritage Music Series, based on the idea that music is inherent to strengthening community and cultures around the world. The series celebrates regional music and dance traditions, and I think if you win these tickets, you'll be really pleased because they are very richly cultural and beautiful musicians from all over the world. So, back to our visiting here. Have your experiences with New Mainers influenced your personal lives? I guess we'll start with you, Wendy. How have these interactions changed your daily life and your thoughts?
I listen more. I listen to what they say, they have to say. They come very, very educated. And the stories, incredible stories of courage and just coming for the opportunities that we have every day. And sometimes we don't realize just how much we have. So I have a new look. I have a new outlook on how much I cherish everything that we have here in the U.S. So.
Yeah, my own children have separately said to me, and my husband, too, who's hugely supportive of this whole project, that they see first world problems more, you know, something they would have worried about before. They just, well, that is nothing. You know, I'm not walking across three countries while I have malaria, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah. Jen or Amy, have you had experiences where this is filtered into your daily lives?
Well, definitely my worldview has become, I feel like the blinders are off in a different way. I feel like news stories connect in a different way with me. And so there's that. I think I've always been really interested in history and politics and all those things. But this whole life of knowing students and their families, as they're in such a transitional time, and just being, you know, privileged to be part of that, because it's not everyone gets to be right there with them. I feel like that has really changed my perspective on how interconnected people are. And then the thing that I think has really just enriched my life is that, you know, we're incredibly lucky in Portland. We have amazing organizations and people like yourself, you know, where I feel like we have all these people that are really interested in this kind of connecting everyone, the telling room and cultivating community and just so many different organizations. And I feel like I now have a network of people that I know that not only are we all passionate about, you know, working with young people who are doing this hard work themselves, but, you know, I feel like it's changed how I relate to my own community and how I you know, feel like I can, you know, I don't have to be in my tiny bubble. I can really reach out and meet all new people because it's, if you can do this, if you can come from Sudan or you can come from Iran or you can do these things, of course, I should be able to reach out and connect to someone who lives down the street from me. So I think those small things and then the huge global things are the things that I think about a lot.
Yeah, well put.
Yeah. For me, this is Amy, for me it's been twofold. It's really given me a different perspective on my grandparents who came here as immigrants, didn't speak the language, immigrated to Biddeford, worked in the mills for a while, the same types of jobs that a lot of my employees are obtaining, and then were able to transition that into owning a grocery store and being, my grandfather was a senator for the state of Maine and really embracing their new roots. And so it's given me a huge new respect for my employees and what they've mm-hmm. gone through and really identifying that in my family. And it's also created a new passion in me in my HR role, where prior to GBC, I really didn't know that this type of position or this type of community existed. And so working with my employees from Sudan and from the Congo and really getting to know them on a personal level, it's really shaped my progression in the human resources community. And I've been doing a lot of work with Deb and Liz over at the Maine Intercultural Community Consultants. We've presented at the Maine HR Convention. We've presented at the Maine Biz Convention. Yeah. And really letting employers know that there's this huge untapped resource of all of these new Mainers who are here. And I am so lucky in that my employees are accountants and they're doctors and they're lawyers. Mm-hmm. And so they are starting over here, and we can give them the opportunity to at least restart that process and opening the eyes of other employers who are now able to, you know, use that potential and just tweaking maybe your application process mm-hmm, or mm-hmm. things that we really don't think about on a daily basis. About, you know, some of my new Mainers have four names, but we have two slots on our application.
Right.
You know, my employees have received higher degrees outside of country, but when I have an online application and there's a drop down for Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, I didn't get it in the States. What do I click? I am now prevented from finishing this application. Yeah. So how can we sort of tweak that just a little bit to include all of these folks that are sort of unintentionally being excluded from this process? Mm-hmm. So it's created a new fire in me, a new passion in my HR life. And that was completely unexpected and such a happy circumstance for me.
That's wonderful. I am so happy to know you. This is the first time I've met Amy. We spoke on the phone, but she was sent over from Liz Greeson, and I'm so grateful because I work with somebody every week that's kind of hoping and dreaming into their futures, and it can be so hard to get started.
It really is, and lucky for me, I've started having those conversations. So I've learned about my employees' backgrounds, and I do new hire paperwork with them, which is an hour sitting with me. So especially if it's one-on-one, we just get talking. Where are you from? You're here by yourself. I can't imagine. You're trying to get money to bring your family over. I don't even understand that, you know, that whole cycle of emotional and financial aspects of what you're doing. And you've come to a country, this is your seventh language, and you're navigating a new culture. And it just, like you said, Jen, it sort of brings this whole new perspective of, wow, I live in a bubble. Wow, I really need to think outside of my safety and my privileged lifestyle to really know. I walked through three countries with my children just to escape persecution and death, and I ran with the clothes on my back. And we're making them, they need cars and they need all these other things. And I'm like, how do you start when you just have clothes on your back? Like, how do you build your entire life back from that? And it's such an eye-opening experience.
If you come in November, start with mittens.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Not little thin ones, big, thick ones. So do any of you have concerns regarding how we're going about receiving new Mainers in this state? And what would you maybe like to see more of? Jen, looks like you're ready to go.
Yes. That's hard.
Yes, okay.
Well, you know, I was just I was looking in the Washington Post today. There's an article about a recent survey that the Southern Poverty Law Center did with the organization Teaching Tolerance. And it was about 2,000 teachers who were reporting. They had about, I think in the survey, there were like 5,000 comments that came from teachers that were just talking about the anxiety and fear that has been generated by the political rhetoric in this last few months. And I think what's so important about the kind of show that this is, and why I'm so glad it exists in our community, is that it's when we dehumanize people, when we don't know their stories, that is when we really are just ignorant of what kind of policies we can put in place. But just like what you were saying, Amy, you know, we don't know what we're putting in front of people for obstacles. If we don't know their stories, we don't understand just how many obstacles we've created. And we do have this incredible, I mean, the only way our population is increasing in the state of Maine is from these people who are coming from all over the world, who bring incredible human resources and resiliency and thinking outside the box. And I mean, just in Portland, the number of new businesses that are started by people who are immigrants and refugees, it's just incredible. So what I continually hear, not just at the national level, obviously, what we're dealing with right now, where it's just fear-based thinking from, it seems like, from 100 years ago, it's just so bizarre. But to hear people in our own state doing that, I guess what's hard is that if people can just step into another person's shoes, they can do that. But I don't know how well we do in really connecting people and having people understand each other. And it's hard to do. I want to put in a plug for my students' exhibit.
Please do. Jen, again, is a teacher at Portland High School, and she teaches English language learners. Yeah. And she doesn't just teach them to speak English. She teaches them to value their own culture and to find ways. She has a translation class. So they learn how to be translators and meet translators and go interview translators.
Yeah.
And
it's really exciting.
So tell us about what they're doing.
Well, so the students in this class are mostly seniors, and what they're going to be doing, and I'm going to make sure that WMPG maybe has a link to this or something, but on May 6th, which is first Friday, so you can make it part of your first Friday walk, 5 p.m. at Portland High School, up in our library, which is on the third floor. If you haven't been in Portland High School, come take a walk. And the title of the exhibit is How Did You Come Through? Real Stories from Mainers from Around the World. And Kate was part of our inspiration. Ali, who was here earlier, was part of our inspiration. The Maine Historical Society, 400 Years of New Mainers. Obviously, the multilingual office in Portland. But basically, what the students wanted to do was interview people from various different communities. Many of them interviewed people and their families about their story of coming here. And what we've done is we've sort of they spent a lot of time writing these up,
translating them.
Yeah, right, translating from
in their primary language.
in their own languages, because they really wanted to make sure that people heard the nuanced part of it, and not just the when the person's trying to translate it themselves in English, and maybe there's that language barrier still there. So a lot of them are translated, and so you can come, and the students are going to be presenting and reading from them, and then a lot of the people who have been interviewed will be there. So please come. So that's, again, May 6th, Friday at 5 p.m. at Portland High School.
Nice. Oh, it's awesome. Beautiful. Beautiful. I will be there.
We're so excited.
You'll join me.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah. So let's return to that primary question. I'm not sure that Wendy and Amy, see if you have something to say about it. Do you have concerns about how we're receiving new Mainers in this state? And what could we do to improve the way we receive new Mainers?
I do. This is Amy again. My concern is just education, and there seems to be a level of intolerance, and these people are taking our jobs. And I have to say that in my perspective at GBC, I wouldn't have a functioning company if we didn't have New Mainers. 85% of my employees, and they're an amazing resource. It's difficult for me because they're people and they're wonderful people, and I think we get lost in that perception of us versus them. And I really hope that what we are doing, getting the message out there, is changing that perception a little at a time, bringing wonderful people into amazing jobs and our community, because we're not getting any younger, and our community is, our numbers are dwindling, and this is an amazing way to bridge that gap between the retiring people and jobs that are open, and just filling our community with this richness of culture. I just really want people to step outside their bubble and really enjoy what we have now as a thriving multicultural community.
Thank you.
I echo Amy on that. I think it does come down to just stepping outside the bubble and listening to the stories and accepting people as...
Yeah, just be humans together.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
I think you said it, Jen. That one-dimensional person. We know from history, from Hitler's Russia. I mean, Hitler's Germany, mm-hmm. and what happened in Rwanda. When you dehumanize people and see them as a flat, you know, cockroaches, or you know, if you diminish their human status, mm-hmm. you get into really dangerous territory. We know mm-hmm. how to not do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Blow the air into the balloon.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, these are full three-dimensional human beings with great mm-hmm. resources in a state that is aging. Who's
yes.
going to pay into it? Who's going to support our aging population? The answer seems to be mm-hmm. these fabulous people coming from somewhere else, just mm-hmm. like yeah. we always have. I love the title of the Maine Historical Society's exhibit, yeah. 400 Years of Immigration.
Yeah.
True. Let's not
yeah.
confuse ourselves. Yeah. Unless you're Native American, you're
right.
an immigrant, too.
I wouldn't be here without... You know, yeah. without immigrants. So,
well, I bet your family's proud
exactly.
of you.
I
yeah.
hope so.
Yeah.
My mom's listening. Hi, Mom.
Well, especially you raised the point about your grandparents.
Yeah.
In that exhibit, one of the things that the students were looking at was, you know, mill work, which now
yes.
we're seeing just, you know, going away. I mean, every week there's some sort of new story about a mill that's shut down or something that's happened in Maine. But mill work was not just people who had been born in Maine. These were millwork was
the immigrant job.
It was the people yeah. who had gotten mm-hmm. off a boat and then were shipped up to Maine. That was going to be their work. So, I mean, sometimes just getting a sense of when we hear people talk about history, being accurate in our thoughts about history
yes.
is really important. And immigration
facts.
is not something you just pretend that, you know, only happens once in a while. It's a constant part and theme throughout our history.
And I think in some families it's not talked about.
Yeah.
Like that's
yeah.
where we were.
Yeah.
And in my family it was celebrated. I guess I was blessed. My meme was featured on Time magazine cover many, many years
really?
Ago.
Oh,
she worked in the mill. And so we have that picture framed.
Oh, wow.
And so, but she was working in the mills. And so she was that face of the immigrant population. Mm-hmm. And so we never lost that root, that tie in my family. And my dad and his brothers and sisters, 9 brothers and sisters. I'm the one of 33 first cousins.
Wow.
So big French family. And we identify with that. That's a passion for me. I'm so proud of being from that big French family. And I happily say I'm from Biddeford. And a lot of people are like, ooh, Biddeford. And so it's so wonderful because it's that Franco-American heritage. And we do call ourselves Franco-American. And I understand now with my employees, how they say they are now Congolese American mm-hmm. or they're Sudanese American. I love that because you still identify with your primary culture, yet you are learning to embrace your new American culture. And you can have both. It
and
doesn't
you,
have to be either or.
You could do it in English mm-hmm. or French, can't you?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing I forgot to mention with my employees. They've actually been helping me bring back my French.
Yeah.
It wasn't spoken at home because my mom is not French, but my dad is. He had to learn English. And so a couple of my directors before I went to Paris last year, spoke French to me in preparation, and it was great because that's their first language.
Wonderful. And so walking
the halls at work, there was always a conversation. Sometimes it was in Arabic, sometimes it was in French, and it was wonderful because it was a side benefit of having these wonderful folks is embracing my own culture.
And yet, as much as that might have been, you know, embraced and celebrated at that, at the Maine Historical Society, one of the things that one of my students from the DR Congo pointed out was this: there was a whole piece about a law that was pushed through. I don't remember the year, but it was when the KKK was resurging in Portland because of anti-Franco-American feelings, and they made a law in Maine where French could not be spoken or taught in Maine schools. And so, you know, she was reading this, and she just wanted to know so much more about this, and thinking, you know, wait a second, this isn't just about color or country, or this does get down to language sometimes.
Absolutely.
And how people want to regulate even that part. So
in 92, when we first moved to Maine, we lived in Biddeford, which I loved, and regularly you would walk through and hear more conversations in French than in English. All the little ladies talking
about grocery stores, and it still happens. Mm-hmm. And it was funny, my boss, Ken, at Granite Bay Care, mentioned at one point he was driving through Biddeford from Kennebunk and stopped at the grocery store and said, I just heard an entire conversation in French. The cashier, the customer, and the manager. That's Biddeford.
Welcome to Biddeford.
And
That's
it's right. wonderful. Yeah. I love it now. As a child, I used to rebel against it. But now it's, you know, I love hearing when my aunts and uncles get together and have that French connection. And I long for that. I think that's wonderful. It reminds me that I'm part of that collective family. And it's almost like a secret society in a way.
It is, isn't it? I'm jealous of my friends who can parent their children in a secret language.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
It's like, oh, the kid sits down, turns around, you're like, what did you say? Why can't I do that?
I love it.
So in a closing question here, do you all have anything you wish you could convey to landlords, business owners, teachers, and others about working with immigrants? I think we should start with you, Wendy. What do you have to offer to your colleagues about immigration?
Well, they've probably heard it from me before because I speak regularly at the Southern Maine Landlords Association, just stressing how important they are and how great they are as tenants. They very much appreciate their home. They appreciate their ability to start over and it's been a wonderful experience.
Great. Thanks. Do you have anything for your teacher colleagues, Jen?
Well, I think my teacher colleagues are often really thinking about a lot of these things. But I think for just anyone working with young people, I think one of the things to keep in mind is that they're navigating things that we often ask kids to do that it's difficult for adults to do. Navigating two cultures or trying to explain a system that you're part of to someone else when you don't necessarily understand the system. So I think one of the things that I try to do when I'm talking with other teachers about these issues is just helping them understand just how challenging that is for young people and how exhausting school is for someone who's very new and doesn't know English. It's an exhausting, amazingly challenging intellectual exercise, but it's also just emotionally difficult. And oftentimes we as teachers don't know the trauma history. We don't know all of those things. And so I think just stopping and trying to learn as much as you can about your individual students, just like you do as a teacher all the time, I think those are the things that maybe you have to take a few extra steps because it may just not be in the same, you know, format that you're used to.
Yeah.
But taking that time to really think about the whole picture that this student is presenting you with.
And kudos to the teachers, because what I heard when I was working in the schools was, well, 12, you know, 15, 18 years ago, we learned all about the Cambodian community, and then we learned all about, and then we learned all about, and sometimes
really
there's fatigue, and it takes a lot to retool, but keeps you on your toes, keeps you young.
And it's so exciting. I mean, for me, I don't think I would – have really learned much about the nuances of Central African politics.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And now I feel like, whoa, I have so much more to learn, but I'm so grateful to learn, to have the opportunity to say, oh, I really need to understand this much better than I do.
Yes.
So those kind of opportunities, I mean, teachers are people who like to learn. So I think by and large, that's true of us,
yes.
But it's hard work. Yeah.
Thank you to all the teachers. Amy, what would you say to employers as we close?
I think, hopefully, I would love to see employers reevaluate how they go about hiring, how they go about employing new Mainers. I think we set up unintentional roadblocks. Looking at your application procedures, is there a way that you are preventing someone from becoming part of your workforce? And when they are part of your workforce, are you setting the expectations higher than you have explained? There's a lot of, like you said, Jen, we sort of take it for granted that people just automatically know things. And when you're coming from a different culture and a different workforce, we have to do a lot better job of explaining the details down to the minute details of what's expected. Sometimes time is a factor. There's sometimes not always a specific time constraint involved in a lot of different jobs, and our job is very time sensitive. So let's reiterate that. And are there expectations for your positions that people may not understand? How can we explain it in a way that is accessible to everyone? And are there things in your job descriptions or in your hiring process that maybe you can reevaluate? Does everyone absolutely have to have a driver's license, or is that something that you can look at? Does everyone absolutely have to have a high school equivalent from the U.S., or can they have it from a different country? And it's just small things like that, reevaluating. And I really hope that people look at this untapped potential, because there are so many people who are just looking for a job. They want to work. They want to support their families. One of our employees, Fernand, was featured in the Portland Press Herald. And so seeing him, just so grateful to provide for his family. And I want people to know that these new Mainers just want to do that.
Well, hear to more gratitude.
Yes.
Yay.
Yeah.
Ladies, thank you so much. You're fabulous panelists.
Thank you for coming in
for the 100th show.
Thanks so much for doing this program.
Absolutely.
I think it's inspiring, and I think it does make a huge difference in our community.
Awareness is key.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We are going to say that the next caller is going to win some coffee from Rwanda Bean. That's from Mike Mwenandara and Nick somebody or other's company, and we have three kinds. The first caller can choose the first choice. We've got blonde and medium roast and dark roast coffee to be given away, compliments of Rwanda Bean. Thank you, ladies, and you're listening to New Mainers Speak. We'll carry on for the last portion of the show, giving away lots of prizes. Stay tuned. The number to call is hard for me to remember.
Right there.
780-4909. You know, we're 90.9. That's supposed to be helpful. 780-4909. So call in and win your coffee. Thank you.
Thank you.
Woo! Look at you.
right, we have Kate here. Kate, that was a brilliant show. Thank you very much.
Oh, they were wonderful.
I know, great guests. It was so interesting conversations going on there.
Yeah, thank you. And thanks for manning the phones while I was doing that, Nella.
No worries.
We still are going to be manning the phones, womaning the phones in this case. We have wonderful gifts to give away. Norway Savings Bank is a local bank that does a lot to contribute to our community. And one of my former guests, Janice DeLima, kindly offered to provide gift certificates. And so two of the gift certificates that are for free today, one is to Asmara and one is to Tukasa. The one to Tukasa has been taken, and the one to Asmara is still available. That's Eritrean food, and it's delicious. My personal favorite is the spinach on the injera bread.
I keep meaning to go there, and I haven't been.
Let's go.
Yeah.
So we have a $50 gift certificate, complement of Norway Savings Bank, to give away to the next caller. And looks like we still have coffee. So we'll go for the Asmara, and then following calls, we'll take for the coffee.
I think it's a blonde.
Yes, the blonde is still available.
Oh, just the blonde. Yeah.
Yes. Okay, so start calling. The number to call is 780-4909.
And we have a caller. Okay, I better go.
Ahora estoy aquí. Abrázame para que piense alguna vez en ti. Ahora estás aquí, ahora estoy aquí. Abrázame para que piense alguna vez en ti.
Hi everybody, it's Kate Manahan again. We're wrapping up this 100th celebration, and we still have fabulous prizes. We've got a pound of blonde coffee from Rwanda Bean, and we still have the two tickets to the Napoli concert. They're South Italy Mediterranean-inspired band at the Mayo Street Arts coming right up. And I have a book here by Tony Bazia, which is called Chocolate Boy. And I read it before I interviewed him for his first time in. He's one of the guests that's been here three times. And it's so rich. If you want a really deep understanding of what someone's life looked like before they got here, he's the son of the Lu tribal chief. And it's quite interesting. So a book, some coffee, and two tickets to Napoli still available. Please do give us a call at 780-4909.
And do keep trying, because we can only take one call at a time, so do keep trying.
All right, everybody, that is the end of the 100th anniversary show of New Mainers Speak. Thank you so much for tuning in. It was such a pleasure today, and we'll see you next week with 101.
Chacun s'occupe comme il peut à représenter le quartier, ouais, le quartier. Certains font des t-shirts et d'autres sont champions ou chanteurs reconnus. Tout ça sort de la rue, hein, qui l'eût cru, pas eux en tout cas. Nous sortons d'une ronde, Belzins Rick Dan.